Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your calls now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you would like to discuss, give us a call now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the grace of God, and so many people, the critics, the skeptics, as far as the grace of God is concerned, always raise the question, so what are you saying? We can just go out and continue to sin so that grace may increase? Is the grace of God just giving people a license to go out and do whatever they want to do? And it's just hard to believe that people actually ask those questions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the grace of God that saves us. It's the grace of God that sustains us. It's the grace of God that does everything in our lives. And we've looked at a passage this week, Titus 2:11, the grace of God has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation while we wait for the blessed appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace of God is what really sets us free from sin and death.
Yeah.
It sets us free from the power or from the punishment of sin, the penalty of sin. It also sets us free from the power of sin and enables us to live as free children of God, generously choosing to trust the Lord and allowing that trust and faith to be expressed in love to others. So grace is the very thing that sources that empowers that to happen in our daily lives. And for proof, Paul is a perfect example. So in 1 Corinthians 15, he said this, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So how in the world, was the law working in his life? Well, he persecuted the church of God. I mean, he spewed murderous threats against Christians. He received papers from the authorities to drag Christians out of their homes, take them down to Jerusalem to put them under arrest and persecution and those sort of things. So that's what Paul was like when he was lost, dead in sin, under the law. He was a persecutor of the church. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 15, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." So if the grace of God, if what you think of as the grace of God is without effect in your life, you better take a step back and ask the question, have I responded to the true grace of God that is manifested to me in the person and work of Jesus Christ? So the grace of God, as far as Paul was concerned, was not without effect in his life. He goes on to say, "No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." So the grace of God changed a persecutor of the church into a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the grace of God was not without effect in Paul's life. There was transformation that took place, so much so that he became one of the most hardest working apostles in delivering the good news that has ever lived. And what does he attribute to that? Not himself, but the grace of God that was with him.
Yeah.
So we don't have to fear teaching the purity of the grace of God. We don't have to fear handing people over to the grace of God. Why? Because the grace of God manifested in Jesus Christ will have an effect on every person's life who responds to it in faith.
That is good news. Thank you, Bob, for sharing that. And friends, we would love for you to join the conversation. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call. in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, would you like to help us spread this message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's a great way that you can do that this month. One of our very generous donors has offered a $5,000 challenge grant to encourage more of us to and hopefully including you, to support the basic gospel message of God's love and grace. Now, your gift this month will double the impact and reach even more people with the life-transforming grace of Jesus Christ. And when you make your gift, we're going to say thank you by sending you our brand new CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll join with us, friends, and take advantage of this opportunity to double your gift and at the same time receive your copy of Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Again, by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, Robert took the opportunity to join us by leaving a voicemail question overnight. Let's hear that question right now.
Yes, my question is, Adam and Eve would have had to sin because Jesus came before the foundation of the earth. So wouldn't Adam and Eve have to sin for that to happen? Sometimes I'm a little confused on that. I appreciate that answer. Thank you very much.
Well, that's an interesting question, yeah. And it really gets down to, you know, is everything predetermined by God? Does every choice, that I make, every action that I take, has that all been already predetermined by God, or is there some freedom in those choices? And that's been an age old discussion, hasn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it has. And the problem is people get to arguing about it rather than looking at the bigger picture and see what was God's intent in all of this. And the fact that Christ was prepared from before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world does not mean that Adam and Eve were doomed to failure. They made a clear choice. It's not like God came to them and said, now I've given you all the trees in the garden, and there's this tree of life, and I want you to eat that one, but I don't want you to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I know you're going to do it, so I've got to. That's not how he put it. He said, here's your choice. And he was ready for whatever they did.
Well, and the reality is that we don't battle against flesh and blood.
Absolutely not.
There are spiritual forces of darkness. And certainly there was spiritual forces of darkness, mm-hmm, back in those days, manifested in the serpent, Satan himself, who was probably leaning on the tree and saying things about it that made it look desirable to Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. So their choice was not an independent choice.
Correct.
It was a choice that was shaped and formed by the deception of the saint. So did God know about that? Absolutely. Yes. Did God create Satan? Absolutely. Did Satan try to rise up and take God's place? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Was Satan thrown out of heaven? Absolutely. Did Satan still have the ability to try to deceive mankind and take mankind down the path that Satan was already on? Yes, he did. And he almost got away with it. But God knew all of that beforehand. That's why Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who was slain from the creation of the world. And that's how John puts it in Revelation 13:8. So he's talking about the fact that all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So this battlefront continues, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
There is a battle for the heart of man. So God created man as an image bearer. That was his vocation, basically. We were to declare the praises of God into this world. We were to reflect those back to God. That's what we were made and created to do.
Yes.
Satan robbed us of that ability. By putting that temptation in front of Adam and Eve, and they failed. But God knew all about that. That's why he sent Jesus as the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So were they predestined to fall?
No.
No. Did they fall? Yes. Did God already know all about that? Yes, he did. And that's why we can rejoice. So when we come to Christ by faith, we're restored as those image bearers.
Yes.
Christ in us is our hope of glory. As we abide in him, trust in him, guess what we reflect to the world at large? The very nature and character of the God who lives in us. And that's the story of redemption. That's the story of the gospel. That's why Jesus came, so that he could save us from our sins, come to live inside of us, and restore us to what humanity was designed to do from the very beginning.
Yeah, never forget that we are not independent agents.
Yes.
We were created to be dependent on someone, someone greater than us. The choice that we have is to depend on Jesus or to depend on Satan. It's literally that stark.
Right.
And if we depend on Jesus, we are truly free.
Yeah, absolutely. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, that's the number that Robert used to leave his voicemail for us. You can do that. You can use that number anytime, 24 hours a day, to leave a question for us if you can't join us for the live broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Jot it down. Keep it handy. If overnight you think of something you'd like to post to us, just give us a call. That number is open 24 hours a day. Right now, a question from Kurt, who listens in Detroit. He says, is the Sermon on the Mount and its commandments part of the Old Covenant, or are we free from those also?
Well, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, you look at the Ten Commandments and you see the rigid nature of those commandments, the harshness of those commandments, and then you fast forward to the Sermon on the Mount, and you think, wow, those Ten Commandments, those were kind of soft. they were just talking about external things, but here the Lord is really diving deep into the heart and trying to say that if you want to be perfect, it's perfect from the heart, from the inside out. That's why he said things to the Pharisees time and time again. You're just a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers. Your cup is clean on the outside, but dirty and filthy on the inside, because they never address the heart of man. Well, Jesus is showing us, I think, in that Sermon on the Mount, that this gospel message is going to address the heart of man. It's going to change what's going on and at the very core of who we are. That's what makes us new, so we can express that newness of life as we begin to walk by faith in Jesus. So as far as covenants are concerned, when God made a covenant with the nation of Israel, that covenant was made effective through the shedding of blood. So animals were sacrificed. Moses sprinkled the blood. That ratified that covenant. Now, when Jesus shed his blood, that shedding of blood was the ratification of a new covenant, a covenant that had been promised hundreds of years prior through both the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And all of the prophets really allude to a time when something new was going to happen. So Jesus's shed blood at the cross is the very thing that ushered that in. So we have to ask some questions. Was the new covenant in effect before the cross happened?
No.
And the answer is no. The writer of Hebrews said it this way, that we know that a will only goes into effect when the one who made it has died. And we understand that in our own legal system. We all have wills. We all have made declarations as to what is going to happen with our assets upon death. Well, none of that is going to happen until, as far as my will is concerned, until I die. Mm-hmm. And so this new covenant was like that as well. That only when the one who made it died, and Jesus being that one, would that will go into effect. So before he died, the old covenant was still in effect. Yes. At that cross, he fulfilled, completed that old, and then through his death, he ratified the new. So anything before the cross was still under the age of the old covenant. Anything after the cross is the age of the new covenant. So that cross is the place of change, isn't it?
Yes.
As you would say, it's the pivot point.
Yes.
It's where everything hinges. And that is so vitally important for us to understand, that we as believers in Christ are a part of this new thing that God is doing in Jesus Christ. And everything in the old, everything from the very beginning, was pointing forward to this new thing, where, you know, heaven and earth have united in the person of Christ, and we have become a part of that through faith in Him. We're baptized, placed into Jesus. So before the cross, old covenant; after the cross, new covenant. That's so vitally important for us to understand. So when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, He was teaching under that old covenant. And I think a big part of what He was teaching in that sermon was the stringency of the law. You know, C.S. Lewis made a comment, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, if you think the Ten Commandments were hard, try the Sermon on the Mount for size. And that's just the reality. It's something that's impossible for us to really live out apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I think if we understand that, I think that sermon will become very clear to us as to the meaning and exactly what Jesus was trying to accomplish in delivering those things. Under the law, there is no mercy under the law. And I think when we realize our sinfulness, our condition under the law, we begin to thirst for righteousness. We begin to thirst. And that's what prepares the heart to receive what God has for us in Jesus in this good news.
Yeah. So let me anticipate a complaint. So if all of the stuff before the cross was old covenant, what do we do with all of Jesus' teachings, not just the Sermon on the Mount? How do we handle them? And let me try an answer. You put them in their context, and you realize that Jesus, as the fulfillment of that old covenant, was explaining how He was going to fulfill it, and then proclaiming what's coming. So how things were going to be different. And if you take His sermons and His stories and all of that and keep them in that kind of context, you don't have to scratch your head and say, oh my, I'm going to have to throw out Jesus. No, you celebrate Jesus.
Right.
Because He was the only one who could say those things, make them true, and then deliver that power to us in the Holy Spirit afterwards.
Yeah, there's a story, I think it's somewhere around Matthew 18, where what must I do to be saved? Mm-hmm. And so a part of Jesus' teaching ministry was to bring people to that very point.
Yes.
There's no righteousness through obedience to the law. We see that time and time again in the New Testament, that no one will be declared righteous through obedience
Correct.
To the law. So we have to come to that point. If that's the case, then what must I do to be saved? So somebody asking that question is prepared to receive an answer. The heart has been humbled to such a point that they're ready to receive the grace of God.
Yes.
And then much of what Jesus taught in His earthly ministry was pointing forward to after. Mm-hmm. So, you know, He talked about the giving of the Holy Spirit. He talked about abiding in the vine. He talked about a lot of things that were going to be the new way of living in this new covenant. And you're exactly right. Context is what will help you more than anything. Who is He talking to? What is He talking about? What's the point? And you say, wow, he's talking to lost people under the law who need their hearts prepared.
Yes.
And I think you can figure it out. It's not a mystery. And with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, I think you can rely on Him and really be able to discern what's really going on in any particular passage in the Gospels.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners who pose questions to us.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Garland, Texas, and talk to Jordan, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Jordan.
Hello.
Welcome, my friend. What's on your mind today?
I had a question about relating to God's forgiveness.
Okay.
And I was wondering, God created everybody and everything in the universe, including Satan. So could Satan ever ask God for forgiveness and be granted to it? Or is Jesus' saving grace only applicable to humankind?
Well, Jordan, I think you've just nailed it with that question.
Yes.
Jesus' saving grace is only available to humankind, to humans. Why? Because only humans were created in God's image. So sin is our choice that pushes us down a path where we miss the mark of what God created us to be. So this grace of God restores us back to that, and before that restoration could take place, forgiveness of sin had to take place to make that happen. So angels, their fate was sealed. Once they rebelled, that was an eternal reality for them. And so Satan and his minions, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and they're going to remain there forever. And the angelic world that did not fall, they're going to look at us as trophies of grace. And as Peter wrote, they're going to long to know about that. Why? Because they're not going to know about that. Angels will never know what the grace of God is like. That's only reserved for human beings.
I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question.
Well, Jordan, that was a fantastic question.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information, a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Thank you.
So hold on the line, okay?
And, Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can go to that very website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. You'll find it and the accompanying study guide right there, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Question from our friend Jose in Tampa. This came in some time ago, but it's a great question. He says, as a new believer, I get confused on what walking in the Spirit means. I'm trying on so many subjects at one time. Is it possible that I could get spiritually burned out? Thank you, and God bless your ministry. That's from Jose, who wrote to us from Tampa.
Well, walking in the Spirit is the opposite of walking in the flesh.
Yes.
We know what walking in the flesh is all about. We're unfamiliar with what walking in the Spirit is all about. That's new. That's the newness of life that this grace of God has saved us to live in. But walking in the Spirit really is trusting the Lord and expressing that faith in Jesus in love toward others. So if you're thinking about the needs of others, if you're thinking about how to serve others, if you're thinking about how to invest your resources so that others can know the love of Christ, you know those actions, those thoughts are sourced by the person and work of Jesus. Those aren't fleshly desires. Fleshly desires are selfish. So I think if we will just keep it that simple, it will all make sense for us. So what is Jesus going to be producing in our lives? Well, he's going to be producing love. He's going to be producing joy and peace and patience and kindness. What does he ask for us? Simply to trust him to do so.
Yes.
He's the vine, we're the branch. And when we abide in him, we're going to bear much fruit. So,
yeah.
We always get down to this thing of, am I doing it right? And it becomes all about us. Well, that's what wears us out.
Yeah,
that's,
it's not spiritual burnout. It's flesh burnout.
Right,
that's really
right.
What's going on.
So we have to realize, no, I'm just going to trust Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the one, and he's promised to live his life through me. He's promised to produce his fruit through me. I'm just going to abide in him and watch it happen.
Very good, guys. Well, friends, your gift this month to Basic Gospel will accomplish two very important things. First, because of a $5,000 challenge grant provided by a generous Basic Gospel friend, your gift will be doubled to reach even more people with God's life-transforming grace. Second, with your gift this month, you'll receive our brand new 2-CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Join with us, friends, and take advantage of this great opportunity to double your gift and receive Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out by clicking Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.